Hello, everybody. I am reading Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I am given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I'm so stoked that we get to have this family service. This is something that we can do a few times throughout the year because we want kids to experience what it is to be a part of the service here, because this is their church. They are the future of the church. One of my favorite pictures of my grandfather was a church planter in the Caribbean back in the 50s. And there is a picture of him. He had a motorcycle. I think it was a Royal Enfield motorcycle with a sidecar. And he has this picture of five little boys from the church that he used to take for rips around the island after church on a Sunday, because he was their pastor and they were a part of the church. And for my grandfather's 80th birthday, a number of years ago, he got to go back to that island where he had planted that church. And those little boys were the elders now of that church. So we have in our midst the future leaders of Grace Point Community Church, the leadership team of 2077 here. So we want to help equip them, and so we want them to be a part of this. As we noted before, every week at our kids' dismissal, we do this countdown, and we play this super amped up music, but the words in that music are actually really foundational to who we are as a church. They're foundational to our mission. Someone want to tell me, maybe one of the kids, what the words of that song are? One of the kids stand up. Maybe one of my kids? No. That's okay. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is the mission Jesus gave to his followers, and this is the mission that we as Grace Point Community Church take up as our mission. But this raises a really important question. What is a disciple? Like, do we really understand what that word means? If we're here to make disciples, we should know what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who's learning to be like Jesus. That word disciple is closely related to the word apprentice. So in our world, if you want to become a tradesperson, if you want to become an electrician, you have to apprentice under a master. You have to watch what they are doing. They need to explain what they are doing. You have to do the work with them, and then they have to supervise you and help you as you do the work, right? That's true for other jobs, like being a plumber. Kids, you may know that in order to become a Jedi, you must become a Padawan learner, which is the word they use for apprentice, because the Siths actually use that word apprentice, but it's the same thing, means the same thing. But Jesus invites us to be his disciples, to learn from him. But think about that for a minute. What does it mean to be an apprentice of Jesus? Now, Jesus, being raised by Joseph, would have apprenticed to become a carpenter, but we're not learning carpentry here today. Sorry, that might be really fun if we did. But what does it mean to be apprentice to Jesus? Jesus is God. So what is his work that we are learning to do? Jesus is the light of the world. He's doing, his work is to make everything new. He makes beauty out of broken things. He is our healer. He is our restorer. He is the one who brings reconciliation and makes everything in the world work the way it's supposed to be. And he says to us, I want to teach you to be like me and to do what I do, and to join me in my work of making everything new. See, being a Christian is not about having all the right facts. It's not about making a decision at one point and then that not shaping your life. No, it actually changes everything about your life. From that moment that you realize who Jesus really is, and you realize that he can be trusted, then you are on this journey of becoming Jesus's apprentice. And he invites us into this apprenticeship. He says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." So Jesus says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? I remember once I was chatting with a friend of mine who was a brand new Christian, and he was just so hungry to learn everything that there was in the Bible and everything Jesus was about. And at one point he came to me and he said, I have a really embarrassing question, maybe an awkward question, so forgive me if this sounds stupid, but I have not yet figured out what yokes have to do with following Jesus. Like, I know we're baptized and we go into water, but like, is there a yoke? And I said, it's different word, right? Not Y-O-L-K, but Y-O-K-E. What is a yoke? It is that thing that sits between a pair of oxen, right? They are pulling a plow together. And he says, I still don't get it. But back in Jesus's day, for rabbis, this was a picture of what it meant to be apprenticed under them, that they would be pulling together. They would be working together. This is a picture of following. This is a picture of submission, of following a master's direction as an apprentice. But Jesus says, listen, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You are going to be apprenticed to something. You are going to be submitting to someone. But what I'm going to teach you, the way I'm going to teach you to live and to follow, is actually something that's going to work for you. Like, better than anything else. It's going to be suitable for you. It's going to fit you well. Everything else is actually going to be kind of strangling you as you're pulling against it. But what I'm going to give you, the way I'm going to show you to live, is not going to do that to you. It's not going to crush you. So why should we be discipled? Well, discipleship with Jesus, being apprenticed to Jesus, is well fitting for us. It's the right thing for us because he is the one who made us. He's the one who knows how we should live because he made us to be his followers. In the beginning, we learn from Genesis that God created man and woman in his own image and that we were made good, right? We were actually made and called very good. But because of sin, because we live in this broken world, we experience all kinds of awful things. Sin brings loss, it brings hurt, it brings sorrow, it brings sadness, it brings conflict, it brings war, it brings death. And in this broken world, each of us have learned certain ways. We have been apprenticed by this world that there are certain things that we need to do, that we tell ourselves that we need to do in order to survive. But as we follow the world, we are contributing to its brokenness. We've hurt others, and so we hurt. We've been hurt by others, and so we hurt others. But following Jesus is the right thing for us because he knows how to reverse this. He knows how to make goodness out of the ugliness. He knows how to restore what sin has damaged. And so we become like him when we allow him, when we invite him to lead us. But it's not always easy to let others lead, is it? I know for kids, it's not always the easiest thing to be told what to do. And kids, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little secret about grown-ups. Sometimes they don't like to be told what to do either. It feels good to be in control, and sometimes it can be very hard for someone else to tell us what to do and for someone else to be in charge. And that sometimes that's because we don't actually trust that the person who is in charge, the person who's directing us, knows what they are doing. Right? They don't have that competence. I remember when I was 14 years old, I was learning to wakeboard for the first time. And wakeboarding was a brand new sport back in those ancient days. And so I was in the water with this wakeboard, and my dad had a friend in the boat who was telling me what I should do. So he was telling me I should turn on my side in the water, have the board up as high as I could get it in the water, and would have lots of slack in the rope, and my dad would punch it, and it would yoink me out of the water. And let's just say that my 42-year-old body would not have survived that. My 14-year-old body, thankfully, was very bendy, but I very quickly learned that that guy in the boat had no idea what he was doing. He had never wakeboarded, and I don't think he had ever seen anybody wakeboard before. He was just the self-declared expert of wakeboarding, and I learned that he should not be followed. But sometimes, right? So sometimes we don't trust that people know what they're doing. Sometimes we have a hard time following because we're not sure if the person who is giving us orders actually has our best interests at heart. We worry that they're trying to take advantage of us. They're going to hurt us. They're going to take something from us. And so we say, no, I'm only going to follow myself. So why should we follow Jesus? Why should we be apprentice to Jesus? Well, this Jesus who calls us to follow him is uniquely qualified for that job. First of all, he is not out to hurt us. He says, I am gentle and humble of heart. But he also, unlike everyone else, he does know what he is doing. And he says, if you come to me and you submit yourself to me, I'm not going to hurt you, but you will find rest for your souls. You will finally be able to be at peace. But not only that, he is teaching us how to be like him. He is teaching us to be sons and daughters who will one day rule the universe with him. Being his disciples doesn't mean that we're not going to be able to do everything that we maybe want to do or feel like doing in the moment. And there are some temptations that we are going to have to say no to as his apprentices, but his way is a way that leads to life. It is a way that leads to peace and a way that leads to us finally doing the thing we were made to do, to reign and to rule with him, to sit on his throne with him for all of eternity. So how does this happen? Like, discipleship is not just something you can say, I am a disciple, and then boom, you know, it's fully formed and fully developed and you've become fully like Jesus. No, there is a process. Discipleship is a function of a number of different things. And so I know kids love math, right? So I created this little equation here. And I know grown-ups like math too, right? To show how this works. But all this is saying, really, is discipleship is time. It's time and intentionality. It's God's word and God's people minus hindrances, but everything empowered by the Holy Spirit. So I am going to walk this through. Don't stress if you're not so good at math. I'm not myself either. But D stands for discipleship. So everything on the left, that's talking about being a disciple. How does this happen? Through the process of everything on the right side of this equation. Now, this is not a technique. What it is describing is a real relationship. And in real relationship, you need to know who you are relating to. That requires revelation, right? If you want to grow, you need information that is new to you, that you are not already carrying on board. And the one who made us, who knows how we are made to live, wants to show us, right? And he shows us in his word. 1 Timothy 2 says, all scripture is inspired by, sorry, 3, says all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So here's the thing that we sometimes forget. In order for us to grow as disciples, our revelation, the time we spend in God's word, it cannot be zero. If it is zero, we're not taking in on anything new and we're not growing. Not only that, but at every moment, every hour of every day that we are awake, the world is telling us how to live. The world is attempting to disciple us, to make us in its own image. And so to counteract that influence, we need to be hearing what is true from the word of God. We need God's word to shape us. I know that that's not always easy. We are reading a book that comes down to us from another culture, from multiple other cultures, from other time periods, other languages. Reading scripture can be hard work and it requires being a student. But if we want to learn, then this journey is a journey of discovery. And we actually have some amazing study tools available, some amazing guides to help us. And one of the great gifts that God has given us on this journey of discovery is one another, which brings us to the second part of this equation, which is people. God uses his people to teach us. God's plan for our growth requires other people. As we mature, we are not just maturing as individuals, but we are meant to work as a team. In fact, more than a team, as a living body in which each different part of the body is growing together, is integrated into another, is nourishing each other, is supporting each other. The Christian life does not work if you are a lone wolf, if you don't trust anyone, if you can't be taught by anyone, if you can't be supported or be supportive of anyone else. Kids, you need parents and teachers and your church family. Adults, you need all those things too. And I know that's hard because, I don't know about you, but sometimes people can be a little challenging. And it is tempting. It is so tempting for us to isolate ourselves and say, I don't need this. I don't need the drama. I don't need the frustration. I don't need, this person was irritable to me. This person was rude to me. They don't understand me. They don't ask me about things or whatever. That temptation is so real. But we have to resist that temptation to remove ourselves, to cut ourselves off. Because if we hold on, we can be a blessing to others and others can be a blessing to us. We can receive their encouragement and receive their wisdom. There are 59 commandments in the New Testament about how we should treat one another. Let me just show you a few. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. Romans 15:7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Hebrews 10:24, spur one another on towards good works. I'm not going to read the other 48 commands because this is a short service. But you cannot be obedient to these commands. You cannot be apprenticed to Jesus in these ways if you say, I choose not to engage with people. You cannot have a hypothetical apprenticeship. You are called into a real apprenticeship. When God's people encourage you, when they love you, when they gently correct you, when they teach you, this is not just God's good plan, but this is actually how Jesus is shaping you through other people. This is how he loves you through other people. And so we do well to receive that. This is why we don't just gather here for 90 minutes on a Sunday morning, 65-ish this morning, maybe. Right? We don't just gather and then disperse and have nothing to do with each other. No, we actually want to be intentional about doing life together. That's why midweek we have discipleship groups, right? That's why we have that foyer out there with coffee, so that we can be connecting with one another. We can have a relationship with one another. We can be encouraging of one another and sometimes even maybe challenge one another. That's okay, but that's a part of the mission Jesus gives us, and that's a part of the means he gives us to grow. Let's look at the next part of this equation. Hindrances, H, right? The more H you have, the less D you have. Hindrances are things that hold us back, that work against our growth. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, I'm told this was a memory verse, right? For kids? Yes? Hebrews 12, 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Now, I want to highlight two words here in this passage, weight and trips us up, which I realize is three words, but just run with it, okay? So I need some helpers here. I want to invite my two helpers up here. No? Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Do you want to help? Yeah, come on up. Come on up. Okay. So, young man, what is your name?
Josiah.
Josiah. And how old are you?
9.
And do you know how to do a push-up?
Yeah.
How many push-ups do you think you can do?
167.
Okay. Can you show us? We don't have time for 160. That's good. Okay, stand up for a second. Okay. Good job. So, you know, we're talking about hindrances, and one of those hindrances is weight. So how many push-ups can you do with, 11.34 kilograms of rice on your back?
20.
Okay, 20? Let's see it. Okay. Okay, start. Okay, so now the other thing we see is things that trip us up. So, Natalia, your job is to tickle him now, okay? Okay, thanks. Let's give them a hand. Thanks, buddy. Yes. Congratulations. You have just discovered hindrances, right? So what do we do with hindrances? Well, first of all, we have to recognize what they are. We have to recognize their presence. And then we actually have to make that intentional choice to reorganize our life to not have those hindrances, right? That might mean breaking certain patterns of behavior, certain habits, certain addictions, maybe redefining some of the relationships we have in our life. But we need to recognize those things are holding us back, because the goal here is to grow. The goal is to become like Jesus. Now, what are those hindrances? Those, you know, on one extreme, we could say those could be like a substance addiction, right? That could be something that is holding us back from our growth. It could be something like dependence on screens. That is a thing. It's not just for young kids or teenagers. That affects people of all ages in this world we live in, right? It could even be things that are not in and of themselves bad at all, except for the fact that they can take a dominating place in our lives. They can become a higher priority than the work of Jesus' kingdom. So even good things like recreation, even good things like our social calendar, even good things like making money so that, you know, we can put food on the table, at some point, those things can become bad things when they, and things that hinder us, when they are not subordinated to the kingdom of Jesus. And that brings us to the next part of our equation, time and intentionality. See, growth doesn't happen by accident. Growth is marked by intentional choices that we make to spend time. Choices about how we spend our time with God's people, spending time in God's word, spending time in prayer, spending time in just communing with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And often to make that time, we have to learn to intentionally say no to other things. But here's the secret, right? Yes, time and intentionality are important. We are given commands in Scripture so that we can choose to obey them, but God gives us help in this. He gives us a helper. And this is the S in our equation, the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." Without the Holy Spirit, all the commands of Jesus, all the rules in Scripture are just going to feel like a chore. It's just going to feel like another burden. And we're going to feel like failures because we don't measure up yet. And we're going to get tired, or we're going to push back and we're going to get prideful and we're going to say, "No, I don't need that. I'm fine just the way I am." But the Spirit is here to help us. He changes our hearts from the inside out, bringing forth characteristics like love, joy, peace, patience, and self-control. All these things that help us become more like Jesus and make us want to become more like Jesus. See, discipleship is not self-help. And it's not a club. It is God's power working inside of us. And that brings us back to why Grace Point exists and what we believe as a community. In our confession of faith, we write down exactly what this lifelong apprenticeship looks like. It says, "We believe that the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ is for all people. Christ commands the church to make disciples of all nations by calling people to repent and by baptizing and teaching them to love God and neighbor, by telling the good news and doing acts of love and compassion." And I want us to just see how this discipleship equation fits into that mission. We drop the hindrances when we repent and turn away from the things that are tripping us up. We dive into people, invest in people in Revelation when we get baptized, and we teach each other to love God, and we show the world the Holy Spirit's power. We show the world that God is active and working and present among us when we tell the good news and we are engaged in acts of love and compassion, when people see Jesus' heart in our actions. Whether you are 9 years old like Josiah trying to do push-ups, or you are 90 years old trying to navigate a difficult week, Jesus' invitation for you today is exactly the same. He says, "Come to me, take my yoke, let's team up, let me teach you how to live." Perfection is not expected of you today, but is that willingness to grow, to learn from him, to follow him, and to become more like him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this invitation of Jesus to come and to find rest for our souls and to take his yoke upon us and learn from him, to experience his humility and his gentleness and his patience and his kindness and his love, that we can learn to live differently than the world lives, and we can become the sons and daughters of the King of the universe that we were always made to be. Lord, we need your help in doing this. We thank you that you have given us your word and you've given us each other. We thank you most of all that you've given us your Spirit to make this journey possible. Would you help us love and support one another along the way? In Jesus' name, amen.